What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 64 of Value Town. I'm Chan Man V, and joined today, of course, by Noxious and Raynads back from the break from last week. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
As usual.
Usual? What's the usual? babies, and all that good stuff, right? And that's kind of your
for
usual
me, yeah.
Things, right?
For me, of course.
Of course.
I mean, that's pretty much all I do, basically, is try to sleep when I can.
Yeah.
But half the time I can't. Like, I think I've gotten 5 hours of sleep in the past 3 days, but it's cool.
Yeah, that's 5 hours pretty good, actually. So, not bad.
In the past 3 days? I'm not sure about that, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't know about that.
Raynad, how about you, man? What have you been up to?
Just the same old stuff, pretty much. Streaming a bit here and there. I got a lot busier once we got the CSGO team. It's like real esports, and then that.
real esports.
Yeah, that has a lot of stuff associated with it as far as like the behind the scenes stuff. So kind of like doubled the amount of work. But yeah.
Definitely good stuff though, right? It's nice to have a good team too.
Yeah. Right now it's going to need an underling to work on that eventually, right? Are you hiring for that kind
of
stuff ever? Or? Okay, you already have a bunch. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's some things you can't like leave to other people though.
Yeah.
Got to do it yourself. Yeah, definitely hear you. Well, guys, well, we got, obviously a list of topics here under you, as you can see down below, just our week in Hearthstone like we always do. Deck talk. There's been a very popular deck that a lot of people have been playing, especially the last few days of the season two, the Camel deck, just to, I guess the spoiler there. Tournament mode. We saw Yang Wu in an interview recently mentioning that, you know, they're taking feedback from it, so maybe they're even thinking about it. So I figured we would talk about a little bit what we'd like to see in tournament mode. Tiny bit of drama, maybe we'll just touch on it real quick. I know Raynad's talked a lot about it on stream, but maybe just touch a little bit on it. And then a viewer Q&A where you can tweet your questions to ValueTownGG. And we'll try to get to as many questions as we can. All right, so our week in Hearthstone, end of the season, obviously happened a couple days ago. I was trying to actually grind the legend the last couple days. I decided last minute to try to. But how was the last week for you guys just playing Hearthstone?
That's fine. Honestly, like, I still just play gimmick decks or half serious decks. So half the time it's just, oh, I got tempoed out. I don't want to play X or Y cards because otherwise I end up putting like 12 auto includes and I get bored.
Yeah.
With the way it plays out, so you end up having very few alternatives. And when you run into like a good tempo, then you're just out. So
yeah, okay.
It makes everything really tough as far as experimentation goes.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Ray, how about you? I saw you playing Camel the other day, and we were going to talk about Camel. But any other cool things you were doing on stream?
Well, not really. It was actually pretty hard to get Legend this month. When I say hard, I mean it took like an extra, like, maybe day or two worth of hours, like 5 to 10 hours compared to normal.
Right, right. Nice.
So I think it's just gradually getting harder because people are, like, net decking more. Like, you never see people with bad deck lists anymore.
Yeah.
Also, like, there is just so much Paladin at the end of the month. Like, normally the end of the month is easier for climbing, but now right. It's like that's when everyone plays like the net deck high tier stuff. So
yeah.
It was interesting. I literally went on the snapshot like the 27th or 28th and just copied the Druid deck at number one, and I just like won a bunch of games in a row and I got there, but it's definitely stuck at rank one for a couple days. It was interesting. When I say a couple days, I mean like, you know, only playing like 3-4 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, I basically just started trying like about 4 days until the end, and yeah, there's definitely a ton of power. I was playing Chinese Zoo and some of my own kind of control priests, my own version of control priests, which is kind of similar to Kalenta, but a little bit different. It has the leaves in it and that sort of thing. And the last day was really weird. So the last day I was like basically 4-star, 5-star rank one like the entire time. And had some epic losses at Gatekeeper. It was pretty terrible. But I ended up, there was a time where I was just like, it was only Paladin and only Zoo I was playing. And then all of a sudden, like in the last 2 hours of the last day or 3 hours of the last day, it was like only control stuff. It was like all priests and I mean, and Druid, it's actually not that much Druid at the end. It was like Paladin, Zoo, and Druid leading up to the last few hours. Then all of a sudden it was just like Priest and Warrior.
Well, for all you know, like everybody else was, like everybody else might have been running into Paladin. Like you just,
I know,
didn't.
Just
and that's
weird.
Kind of a fundamental problem you have with the ladder system is it's pretty tough to roll the dice properly. Like a lot of it sometimes comes down to good matchups. Like I'll find usually that when you get people to hit Legend, what ends up happening is they get like a crazy win streak, right? Like at the end they push like 8 to 9 wins in a row. Yeah. It happens really often. Like rarely do you see people grind forever on it. Like it'll some like very often just happen.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. And that's just the nature of rolling your good matchups.
Yeah.
And most of the time, if the ladder ever gets reduced to like only 2 decks, like it did in the last couple of days of the season, then you can counter it with like one specific deck that's good against both of them and then climb really fast. But this is like one of the first times where the top 2 decks were so good, even in their bad matchups, that it was like really hard to counter them. You know, like if you play Freeze Mage to beat Seeker Paladin, you lose to Druid, and if you play, I don't know, Zoo to beat Druid, then you lose to Seeker Paladin. There's just like no way to.
Yeah, to get like 70-80%, you just pretty much had to 60% and grind up there or something like
that. These are decks that are hard to punish. I think that's kind of what it comes down to. It's like it's really hard to punish these decks baseline. And it, you mentioned it was harder this month to climb the Legend, and I think that's also due to that. It's just the decks are somewhat forgiving. Not every single deck is that. Like, let's say Zoo is harder to play than, obviously, Druid in some cases, in most cases, really. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I venture to say that because of the fact that all these decks that are very forgiving are now solid, that's what makes the ladder harder. Like, people might have gotten better, but for the most part, it's just the deck lists. I think so.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean by that. That Chinese Zoo deck is really fun, though.
Yeah, it is.
You guys played a lot with the Hanzo and everything. Oh my gosh, I had so many wins with Wind Fury Power Overwhelming. It's ridiculous.
What's the Chinese Zoo deck?
Oh god, Hanzo
Mikano. That's all you get.
Well,
that's all you need
to know. So it has no Doom Guards, no Void Callers. It's has an Hanzo mechanic. The 1C Giant, I believe. What else? The wolves are in it. I'm trying to think of any unique
giants,
aspects of it.
Do they run that stuff? Because I remember like
I have 1 sea giant. I think maybe some have 2, but I'm pretty sure it's 1. And then you can run a Lothab or not. You can run a Reliquary or not. I was just kind of playing around with some of those cards, but yeah, it's just one with no Doomguard. It relies heavily, honestly, against control decks. It relies heavily on Enhanzo getting Wind Fury. Like I couldn't ever beat Warrior without Wind Fury. It was pretty interesting, but it's really fun. It's actually I went from like 5 to almost rank 1 with that.
I mean, it makes
like,
Zoo it was fun, just crushing. Right? Between Peddler and Mechano, you've got an Implosion.
Oh, Leroy too.
And Knife Juggler. Yeah. Like you can do all these funny things. Just roll the dice more often. It's like you're playing Random Mage, but with Zoo.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like.
It has a Leroy too. So
yeah.
that's fun. That's definitely good. Fun. Let's see, what else this week? You guys play Tavern Brawl at all? Like I know the last Tavern Brawl we talked about was the Charge Taunt one, right? I barely played that one, but the new one sounds pretty interesting, Noxious. You were explaining it to me.
Yeah, like the last one we had was basically the Hero Has Taunt, which was like there was a Hero Has Taunt and then Charge and Taunt on all the minions. And this time around, it's like each player gets to pick a buff. Like we've already seen that before where some people got to maybe get 3 armor when they played a spell, and like it was super dominated by very, you know, spell heavy decks. But this time around, what they've got is like the same type of effect, but it feels like they've expanded on it. And what's really cool is, I feel like after the taunt, you know, your hero has taunt, and this one, they're really trying out the whole enchantment part of development, where you get to pick an effect that will last throughout the game without necessarily, or at least for a portion of the game, without necessarily going away as soon as you played it, like minions or spells. So I think that's nice. It shows some experimentation on their part.
Yeah, I mean, anytime they've tried those type of ideas, you know, where you have this kind of enchantments or these choices, right? You can choose whatever you want. It's been really successful. Like the one a few weeks back, right? Where you could choose if you wanted Battle Cry or Death Rattle and that sort of thing. That was kind of
yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, this new season's coming on and or just starting, and I don't know. I played a little bit yesterday, and all I saw was aggro. That's like typical. Typical beginning of the season. So,
dude, I faced off against three Reno Secret Paladins. Like, okay, don't even. I have no idea what's going on, so I'm not even gonna comment on this.
okay.
I have no clue.
All right. Well, moving on. Actually, something that before we get into the deck talk, something did come up on Reddit recently. I figured I'd bring it up, and it's basically speculation on when the new release, right, with the whole standard and new expansions coming out, and the speculations were made based on Blizzard's announcement of the championship schedule, just America, Europe, and Asia championship schedules for winter and, you know, summer and spring. And the way they worded it was that, you know, this current season, you know, the ending to this championship, you know, was kind of worded normally. You know, the players can pick whatever cards from the decks, but then the other two seasons, it stated specifically stuff about standard. So people are speculating that it's not going to be released until after this competitive season's over. What do you guys think? I have just, you know, just guessing. Of course, we don't know for sure, but guessing. What do you guys think? You think they will come out with it pre-championship, you know, pre-finals, you know, and have what we've had in the past where Blizzard comes out with an expansion regardless of what's happening in the championship, and then, you know, players have to adapt to it? Or do you think they'll actually wait this time around? Reyna?
I mean, I think they'll wait until, like, how do I put it? The actual championship itself happens, what, on like the 11th or something? Like the most, like,
it
the
begins
nearest
on it, yeah. The America's one, right?
Yeah, the America's one is March 11th and 13th. Yeah, 11th through 13th.
When's the European one?
I think a week after that. It's basically a week after that, and Asia's a week after that. So that's kind of why they gave the March 27th date, as people are speculating after.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if that's like an event where it's worth announcing new cards, but maybe they wouldn't do it like at a competitive event, and they would just do a separate announcement outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, as far as like it being after March 28th, that's like the least... That's like me saying after December it'll be 2017. Like yeah. I mean,
thanks for that.
like yes, they're not going to release an expansion like, you know, 2 months after the last one, and they're also not going to release it like 6 months after the last one. So
yeah,
it's like very in line with their once every 4 months thing.
Yeah.
It's the time anyone would expect it, I think.
Yeah, that's
but yeah,
true. Yeah.
They might do it like before, like, how do I put it?
Before the season's over?
Yeah, because it's like they might announce it before the season's over,
yeah,
and then start it like on May 1st or whatever, or April 1st.
Yeah,
April
1st, yeah.
Announce everything kind of like they did with Naxxramas, which was like, that was way too long, granted. But they could do like Naxx-like release where they, you know, give you a bunch of cards to toy around with in your head, right? Just get you excited, and then when it launches, then you're super happy. Now, I have to wonder though how much of that info they'll release, because like there's a bunch of stuff coming up, you know, card changes, obviously the new expansion.
Yeah.
So there's a lot there that's going to be changing.
It's hard to juggle these expansions with a competitive schedule too.
Sure.
Because, you know, so ideally, I think it is proper for them to release it after the season's over, just because, you know, like you want the whole season to be competitive season, championship season, to be consistent, you know, and have the players that have done well, you know, continue to do well with whatever card sets and formats that have been in place. But they'll always want to, they're always going to want to announce the expansions somewhere in there too. So if they do announce, you know, just the cards, give us, you know, some spoilers or whatever, it's going to take away from the championships to a degree too, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's just going to be like, oh gosh, okay, like, you know, let's get this over with. And then
put it in Arena, right? Like they did with GBG before GBG actually came out, right? Like,
yeah,
everybody had access to GBG cards in Arena. That was pretty cool, I thought, for the time that it lasted. So that might be a way to do it, since, you know, it's not adventure mode. So it's going to be like a huge, you know, card pool added to everything that we have. So
yeah,
Arena could benefit from it. And if they increase the rate at which you get them, like they've done with every single set that was current, then that also will make it more exciting while we wait for the championship to be over. So
yeah,
I dig that.
And I think they're not going to implement the new set like halfway through a month, because
yeah,
and then you only have like 15 days to climb basically the standard ladder. So yeah, I think no matter what, it would make sense for them to implement it like on the first basically. So I would expect an announcement and card reveals like this month maybe.
Yeah, for sure. For sure this month. And yeah, I think I guess the question is whether like mid month or, you know, a little bit closer to the end of, you know, that March 27th date, right? But regardless, it sounds like, you know, I mean, the date's looking like it's, you know, it's being, or we can start pointing at least a pretty good area, at least within a range, you know, instead of just, hey, it's going to be in spring. You know what I mean?
And so people, that's a really big one.
March? Is that April? Yeah. You know, that sort of thing. But definitely excited about it. One thing that me and Noxious were talking about, or like we noticed that was Merkai was going to be, removed from standard. Figured we'd just bring this up since we're talking about standard. So reward cards, you know, we never touched on reward cards and how they are handled, I guess, you know, just with this new, retiring of cards and things like that. The current reward cards, I think, will all be retired, right? I think that's the current situation of standard. But in the future, like, what do you guys think about, you know, I mean, the same thing with reward. I mean, reward cards, will they just be, I guess, added or just have the same similar, you know, as long as it's like a year old or a year and a half old, they'll be retired too, or that sort of thing? Or do you think the reward cards should be treated, I don't know, any different?
Have they even made any more reward cards? Like, that's the thing that you have to remember is we had Gelbin in the first BlizzCon where Hearthstone was there, and then you had ETC on the following year. Mm-hmm. And then the following year, there was nothing. Right, there were no cards added to those people who attended or bought a BlizzCon ticket online, and then, you know, Merkai was reward for getting one of each Murloc, and Parrot was the same thing for Pirates. But if they don't plan to add more reward cards, then that set could just be, you know, never expanded
obsolete,
on, or at least pretty much. So that's one of the ways it could do it. I don't know.
Or should they even be added to standard? Period. Like any reward cards. I don't know. Reynad, what do you think about just reward cards generally? Should they continue doing it at all in the future, or should they even, if they do, should it even be added to standard? Since it's like they're generally gimmicky, except for Merkai. Merkai was like the only one I felt like was, you know, that's been viable.
I think that reward cards, I don't know, they're cool, and I hope they keep doing them, honestly. But I like the fact that they're not in standard. Merkai is good and all, but it's. It's kind of an unfair reason, but it is like too good. Like the Anyfin deck is too good, so it's really good that that's being removed from standard. Mm-hmm. Like it's such a big deal. The Anyfin deck, like if the format that we're playing right now was just a little bit less broken, or if the Anyfin deck had like one more good card, then it would be beyond broken. Like the deck is a one card druid combo, and it. The second one is like, you know, for infinite damage. So
as far as you're concerned, pretty much.
So it's not a healthy deck, and it's actually kind of good that it's not in standard. But it sucks for like people that want to build like a fun Murloc deck. Another big issue is Elite Tauren Chieftain. Like the card is actually very, very good. So it kind of sucks to see that leave, because if you had a standard format with very few five drops, it's actually a really high quality card in Tempo Mage, Druid, and Rogue. So
it's a spell slinger, right?
Sort of, kind of like Azur Drake, but one sided, because none of the spells you get off of it kill it. So they can't ever play their spell when you have 5/5 on the board. Yeah. So it's kind of like Lotheb. If you play it when you're ahead, usually win. So kind of sucks to see that card gone, but
we've rarely seen that card though in competitive, right? I remember Nimsh playing it one time at an early
it was good
early
in
tournament.
Druid, man. Really good in Druid a while back.
It's only because we had Nax, because there's Belcher Lotheb.
Yeah it's true.
You remove Belcher Lotheb, you remove all the other five drops we have. Like, I mean, what? There were no five drops that were playable before like Naxxramas. There was Azur Drake and Stampeding Kodo.
Yeah,
and it's like,
was Kodo even a five drop back then? It was like you play with Humility on six or even later sometimes. So, like you'd play it sometimes on five, but
some people just played it on curve because there was no Haunted Creeper or Nerubian Egg or anything.
Right,
so it was actually
true.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the point is there might be a format where they like just don't print very generic good five drops. They might just print like a very specialized five drop, like the Ginny or whatever.
Yeah.
So in that kind of format, ETC actually would have been a really big deal, and I actually was looking forward to playing it in a lot of decks. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a card we've played in tournaments a couple times even. Mm-hmm. It's
a fun card, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Gelbin's unplayable.
Cool cards from it. Completely. Yeah.
So yeah,
Gelbin's okay in some control priest decks, but we have double Entomb and True Silver, or Justicar True Heart. So we just have like too many six drops to play Gelbin for a long time until TGT and League rotates out.
Gelbin.
He's actually okay in priest, surprisingly. Like, that's the one place he's been Gelbin. Played.
Oh, man.
I remember Amaz played it in the tournament at some point. I guess, like, ultimately, we're not going to miss too much. And, like, we didn't talk about the Parrot, but that guy could be a problem. And if it were in Standard at some point when they print, like, one really sick Pirate that can be used as standalone.
Yeah.
Because then suddenly you can always fetch it no matter what class you're playing. And that could have been a problem in very, like, isolated cases. We haven't had, you know, those problem cards yet. But if they ever want to print Pirates, then Parrot is a design limitation. And likewise, I think... Like, Murkai is kind of cool for Murloc decks, but ultimately he doesn't... Like, he's got charge, number one, which is a problem, but he's also not fun. Like, he doesn't have this crazy Neptulon feeling to him. He's just, like, a hard hitter. And you might want to expand on the Murloc tribe with something more thematic, I guess.
Right. Okay, why don't we move on to some deck talk. We haven't talked about, you know, specific decks in a while, just because there hasn't been much to talk about. But this, you know, the end of the season, right? Jackie Chan, who's, you know, was known prior to this for, I think, an Eggdrid deck. You know, he's been coming up with some different decks.
Yes.
You know, made this Camel deck popular by getting to rank one with it recently. So that's been the trend, you know, the faddish, I guess, deck of at least the last week is this Camel deck. And I tried playing it the last night. I played probably about, I don't know, 15, 20 games with it. And I saw you playing it, Ray, like on stream maybe a couple nights ago, too. What do you guys think of this deck? And, you know, just the unique elements. We can kind of show it on screen here in just a sec. Why is this deck good, yeah, especially at the top ranks? Because when I was playing it against, I was running into, I guess, a few, at least early on in the season. So I was running into a lot of aggro decks, and it was hard to play against aggro decks with this deck. So wanted to see what you guys think is, you know, the strong matchup. Raynad, what do you think?
It beats up on Druid.
Yeah.
Most of the games it wins are because people misplay against it. Like, once you're aware that it doesn't have burn, it's actually very easy to play against. I played it. It's really well built. I like that it has very few dead cards. It's just like, once people are even remotely aware of what's in it, the deck becomes pretty mediocre, which is unfortunate. There's that metagame like a few days ago where it was just nothing but Druid.
All Druid.
Seeker Paladin.
Yeah.
So if you draw Unleash in the Paladin matchups and then you queue into Druid a lot, then you end up climbing really fast with this deck. So, I mean, it's definitely not bad. I don't know how good it is. Like, once people know that it doesn't play burn, it lets you play in. It lets you, like, fight for board, basically, without worrying about your life total. And then this deck is just not as good at fighting for board as every other class. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's funny seeing the Cult Master in the Hunter deck. I mean, I haven't seen Cult Master in Hunter since Unleash first came out. You know, the new version of Unleash, or this current version of Unleash, came out. So seeing that card is really, really cool. And then the Camel, too. What do you guys think about just generally Camel? I think, Ray, you've liked that card, I think, in the past, right? Or I think when we were first reviewing Camel, you liked it?
Yeah, I tested a lot of different decks with Camel.
Yeah.
All of them I settled on Zombie Chow because Qualdir was like just trash on its own when you draw it. And then it's still good to get a 2/3 off of Camel, but if you naturally draw it, I'd rather have the two extra stats.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But I'm not sure if Qualdir or Chow is better in this deck. I still think Chow probably. It's a Camel's good. Like, there's some matchups where it's insane, like against Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some matchups where it's really bad, like Priest.
Priest can be really tough, yeah.
Oh, gosh, that's true.
Noxious, depends on your board, really, though. Well, I flipped. The thing is, like, I'm surprised this deck ever even worked, because when I tried similar lists before, which were, like, trapless and spellless, and they resembled this a lot. Like, everybody who built camel decks probably went for the kind of Sunshine Hunter approach, like the pre-Nax Hunter type. And it looked a lot like this back then, you know, obviously barring some cards we have now. The thing is, Glaivezooka carries this deck. Like, I keep bringing it up, but without Glaivezooka, this deck wouldn't be able to do very much. Like, you can't sub Glaivezooka out for a bow in this deck. I feel like you just lose out too often on your early curve, even with a 2-drop. You need to get that, like, sometimes you need that 1-drop plus Glaivezooka to kill even stupid stuff like Aspirant, or you prevent them from playing that 2-drop themselves, and then you're able to kind of get that Desert Camel ball rolling. I just don't know, like, if the deck can really stick around, as you said, because it's predictable. I was telling Chanman, I just don't, like, it's the type of deck that has novelty, and because of that, nobody knows what to do against it, but as soon as it's figured out, it's just dead in the water. And now the question is it able to tech burn back in? Like, is it able to find room to bring back in the quick shots and the kill commands? And if so, is it better to stick to a list like this or go back to the typical mid-range? And is Kvaldir worth keeping at that point? Or are you better off with, you know, Chao, even Clockwork Gnome, for hell's sake? Like, there's so much stuff you could justify.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like you said, it's definitely good to see a deck evolve, you know, just to kind of try to make it just a mainstay. But it's pretty hard to do. So it's hard to do with this 100 deck generally. But it's good to have these type of decks, though, to keep, like, Druid in check. I mean, Druid was just going crazy. You know, just the second half of the season this month was literally all Druid, and there was no reason for people not to play Druid. We saw it in competitive events, too, right? Just lots and lots of Druid. So this kind of getting popular at the end, you know, it's kind of cool. Kind of definitely cool for it to, you know, again, just to have folks be able to climb the ladder really quickly with this deck. One thing I noticed when I was playing it, there's a lot of RNG, man, in this deck.
In what?
Just lots of knives, lots of flame jugglers, lots of web spinners. I mean, it makes it fun that way, but at the same time, it makes you pull your hair out a lot of times when you're playing this deck, because there's not a lot of room for, like, there's not a lot of a large margin for error either with this deck, so you got to play it pretty well just to win. None of my games were just like stomps. I felt like every game that I played last night was really, really close. It came down to the last turn a lot of times. So it's fun in that regard, but not the simplest deck to play either.
Yeah, this deck also really shows us like how tilting Flame Juggler is going to be after Standard.
Absolutely. Yes. It's Knife Juggler number 2 is how I feel sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, why would they make it? I don't know, man. The same. Like, it's like Crackle level design. Like, just why does that need to be in the game?
Well, they made
nobody
2 cards.
Nobody enjoys it. Nobody's like, oh, wow, Flame Juggler. This is giving me awesome nostalgia of World
this
of Warcraft.
Fun. Yeah,
look at how flavorful and skill intensive this is. I'm really enjoying Hearthstone right now. No, like, you break peripherals every time it's played. I don't understand, like, why.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's just, I don't know. Cards like that, I really think, are just bad design, to be honest. But
yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing that a lot post standard, or at least in more decks. But so another question, discussion I think would be pretty interesting is that you know, we're seeing this deck all of a sudden become, you know, viable, and people, and just Jackie Chan specifically coming up with a deck that does counter the meta. You know, a lot of folks have just been content with the fact that the meta, or at least at this point, the meta has just been settled, right? And there's just like no place for new decks to come into, you know, into play and for it to arise and that sort of thing. But we see a deck like this. We see, you know, Fibs like Warrior deck, you know, just with the Death Wings, and even just the Druid Egg deck that even Jackie Chan came up with maybe a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. If we had more folks like the Jackie Chans and you know, yourself, and just doing it like literally 12 hours with decks, would we see a lot more decks just at the top of the meta rankings right now? Like, Raynan, I mean, is there still room that we just haven't deck teched fully yet? I mean, it's not completely discovered.
The thing is, it's not like a lack of innovation, or it's not, how to put it, like, in card games, the metagame can't ever settle. There's always new decks that you can come out with that'll be good for a day or two and get you to like high ranks. But I don't know how I put it. Like, having more Jackie Chans or whatever would help. You know, there would be more of these, like, cool decks or whatever that you could play for a day or two. But they're not, like, basically the metagame is very refined and it's established. But that doesn't mean there's no room for new decks. It just means that the best decks are already, like, discovered. So when a deck like this Camel deck comes along, it can be really good for, like, a specific ladder metagame for, like, 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Druid and Secret Paladin will just go back to having a higher win rate a few days later.
Yeah.
Because they're just better. So that's kind of what it does. Like, the decks that we're used to seeing now are very polished. They're very broken, and they just have the highest win percentages of anything you can play in the long run over, like, several weeks. So I don't think there's room for another, like, tier one, you know, 60% win rate in all metagames deck. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely room for, like, new decks to come out and be good for, like, short periods of time, basically, against specific things.
Yeah, playing Hearthstone sometimes, like, it's like the stock market. You can day trade and pick these, like, you know, these decks like this and win for, like, a day. Or you could just choose, you know, just the good old Druids and Secret Paladins and just grind for the long run and that sort of bit. So it's pretty funny. Pretty tough.
Yeah, it's card games. I agree with you, though. It was the same everywhere. Like, there's no card game where I don't think that happens. Like, you'll have the really weird dude. Like, there's in MTG, there's always, like, that random guy coming up with some, like, they're called rogue decks over there. Like, there's no rogue class. But basically, like, the guy comes in with that random gimmick, and he just happens to get through to top eight. You're like, what the fuck is this? And then you play it more and more, and then you just realize the deck sucks. But he made it, right? And it's not so much the deck itself is bad. It's just that everything else, once it knows what's up, just knows how to play against it, and it can adapt its, you know, its general game plan without even having to tech very often. Like, so that you don't even have to tech your deck, and you still beat it as long as you know what's up. So that's the problem. But yeah, it's fun, I guess, to make new decks.
Okay, well, let's move on. Let's talk about some tournament mode, or at least have some brainstorming on tournament mode. Yongwoo was on an interview recently with another podcast, Well Played, and he mentioned that he was taking, or they were taking feedback for tournament mode. Didn't really give any more specifics for that, but I just took that as, okay, well, maybe they're thinking about starting it or starting to design it, and, you know, they want some feedback, so why not have us, you know, three of us kind of talk about it a little bit and see what, you know, what's an ideal tournament mode. So I'll start things off. So in terms of, I guess, just the mode itself, you know, I'd like for us to have, or just all players to have the ability to enter into a very small bracket, you know, that would last, I don't know how many rounds. I guess let's start off with that. Like, if we were to have a tournament mode, how long would you want the tournament or the experience to be? Should it be like a 4-man tournament, 8-man tournament, 16-man? What do you guys think?
Custom? Why? What about custom? Like, okay, you custom. Just said the amount of players you wanted, and the rule said we'll decide, you know, if people get disqualified because they end up dropping out, well, that's their prerogative. You know, if they sub to a 16-man tournament, they don't end up playing their games, and that's their issue. It's going to be more punishing, though, than something like Arena, right? Because the point of Arena is you can just leave it and come back, whereas this would be a lot more engaging in the way that you have to attend Hearthstone competitively. Like, literally, this is the competitive, you know, mode that everybody kind of wants, I guess, as an alternative to ladder.
Okay. So, I mean, that's kind of why I think the duration is probably something to discuss. Reyna, what are you thinking about, like, duration of, or how it should be set up?
I don't think it should be a bracket.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've ever played Magic Online, but it's terrible. Like, there's literally like 30, 40 minute downtimes. You have to wait for every match to finish before you can play your next one.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of things that people don't, realize make Hearthstone good. And number one, it's that it's a game that's just designed so you never have to commit more than like 10 minutes to play it. So I think they could do tournament mode in a way without losing that. And I would rather they do tournament mode. The way I would do it, if I were Blizzard, I would just make it like Arena, where you don't even enter a tournament. It's just like constructed, and then if you get, you know, up to like 6 wins in a row or whatever in a best of 3 type of thing or something, then you get like rewards accordingly. But it's just like a pool of constructed players, and you get paired against people with the same win, like wins as you. I think that's a much better way to do it. I really don't like the concept of
Wait of, like, time
a bracket and committing to a bracket.
Yeah, like I've lost a lot of drafts in MTG. I think you're right. Like the time you spend waiting is just annoying. Makes the entire thing really you just drop out. I very often just drop out. I can't be bothered to stay there.
Well, I mean, it's just our user experience with Hearthstone. There's zero wait. I mean, there's literally nothing that we wait on, right? I mean, unless there's the queue is taking forever, which never happens these days, right? So, yeah, having some kind of format where we would have to wait like literally 15, 20 minutes possibly, you know, would be, that definitely would be pretty bad. It's definitely a good argument against it. Even StarCraft, like StarCraft has tournament mode right now. And I mean, a lot of times, you know, people just, there are definitely people that just drop out. So they get like buys the first round. And I've had that happen a lot. And then so I'm literally just waiting like for first round stuff to complete. So my very first experience entering into the tournament mode is like a 20 minute wait, right?
That's awful.
Really bad. Yeah. So I think format wise, that's a good design just to have more, at least more options for people to play immediately. From the standpoint of prizes, I mean, anything specific? I mean, prizes, I generally have just been, you know, packs, dust, and gold. I mean,
what else do you want?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it would be. Okay. Maybe like some card back swag, or like if you reach a certain level, or if you win some stuff, like that could be. I mean, I wish there was a way like a medal, right? Like that would be displayed in game instead of card backs necessarily. Like something else that could display that you've done. Like, let's just, I don't know if you've got. I've played Duelist, but when you've reached, let's say, 100 wins with a given class or a given hero, you've got this little banner that shows up next to your, you know, on the interface somewhere. It shows that you, as a player, have won, you know, let's say 500 games with a class. And the opponent has a way to gauge just how good you are or how much you've played, rather. Never mind. Just how much you've played.
Yeah.
So that could be something to put in, and it could tie into some more aesthetics than just card backs.
So are we talking best of ones here or...
Three, I would do best of three, but
best of three, okay.
Yeah, best of one is like, why not just play ladder games in a row?
Yeah, right. Pretty much.
Yeah, especially that format. Yeah,
best of three. If they just put like a 30-second countdown timer in between games to select your next deck, that's probably the way to do it. But yeah, like again, that's still very un-Hearthstone-y because then you're committing to more than 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
But also, if they were best of ones, then it's just like the same as ladder with different rewards. So,
I'd take that. First, second,
I don't
third.
Know, man. They already have chess, dude. Like, I don't know. It would be weird.
Chess. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's like if you have the bracketing, then that's another logistical issue. I mean, basically, Young was trying to figure out what people want out of that mode because they talked about the fact that they were working on that before Tavern Brawl came out, and they opted to do Tavern Brawl instead. So they're definitely working on a tournament mode, but the integration of it is, I think, going to come down to that problem you mentioned, which is how long do you make players wait? It's not even the rewards. That's easy to kind of tackle. If you're Blizzard, just give people stuff. Like, I don't know how, like how much, but you give them stuff. But how do you implement it without it feeling like it's bogging down your play?
Yeah, I mean, I think a pool of players is, I think that's a good idea, but then we have to question like, okay, how big is this pool of players? And then, you know, where's the cutoff, right? 6 games, like you said, or is it 8 games? And then, I mean, there's going to be a lot of ties, right, at the top when that kind of thing happens. I mean, it depends on how many games.
It's not one winner. There's lots of people that get a lot of wins in Arena.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, so it's not comparative to the rest of the contestants, or at least in your pool. Okay, I can see what that means. It wouldn't be really a tournament format then, right? It would just be... A different,
well, it kind of be. It's best of three, so it gives you the ability to not have to roll dice once and be done with it. Like, you actually have a chance to maybe get your favorable matchups to go in your favor for real, given that you're rerunning the match after you're done with the first one. So, yes, I think in that way, yes, it's not a tournament in the classic way, but it definitely gives you, as a competitive player, you're enjoying the experience more because there's more planning going into your next game than just, well, let's see who I face off against now. It's always going to be that next... then the same deck they're going to be running against. So
yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, those, I think those are good ideas. Hopefully, Yongwoo and those guys get a chance to take that into consideration. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so some Reddit drama. I figure we just touch on this just a little bit. And the part that I want to touch on, Reyna's gone on and like, you know, and explained everything on his stream and really talked about just that whole, you know, that whole thing with the Trump donation thing. But the thing that came up that I thought that was interesting, or I wanted to talk a little bit about, is just that the notion of showing Reddit threads on stream, you know, seemed to be in question, because it, you know, there's a Reddit rule that's basically, you know, you can't do things to like instigate brigades, right? I mean, that's the big thing, right? And viewing threads on stream seems to be included in that. But at the same time, it doesn't make any sense too, because it's just like, what if I'm looking at a Reddit thread that's like super old, right? And has nothing to do with like anything, like let's say I'm looking at one that's 2 years old, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And what does that have to do with like brigading at all, like in terms of, you know, that particular thread or, you know, that sort of thing. So, and just generally, you would think that Reddit would want people to market their market their site too in some way, right? So this whole notion, I think, is strange. I kind of wanted to see what you guys think of it. Noxious, off you start, and then Rain out of
way. Sure. So I mean, like the whole making sure that like you go out of your way. Because the thing is, like, what they do is basically each subreddit is, like, funny enough, it's a public platform, but it's privately moderated, whereby the guys who are in charge of any subreddit, not just Hearthstone, but any subreddit, ultimately just have no one to report to, unless they're doing some really... I think there's a way to report to the higher-ups so they actually take action if something deeply wrong goes in as far as the censorship. But even then, like, whoever makes the subreddit owns the subreddit for the most part. So unless the community, you know, uproars, nothing's going to change. And when they go out of their platform, which is outside of Reddit, to find people, you know, like to watch or monitor people's behavior in regards to Reddit, I think that's really weird. Like if you say looked at a link, right, like, you know where the traffic comes from. So if you notice that a thread gets upvoted by, say, you know, 500 users who come in from a Twitter link that a guy posted because he posted his thread, then you know, you have a legitimate way to track using just your, you know, your... I guess your website and its data to know where people have been brigading from. But when it comes to, you know, looking at a stream, I mean, that's kind of a different story, I think. I don't know. It feels like streams are personal space. I don't come to your house and check what you're doing with your internet. So it's weird.
Yeah, but even your example about tweeting, right? And tweeting is like the method that they're always talking about in terms of brigading.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, there are many different ways that it can be construed when you tweet something. I mean, obviously, if you tweet, like, guys, go to this thread and upvote it and just, like, cause, you know, comment on it and cause craziness into this thread, I mean, that's obvious. You know, that is absolutely brigading, or just encouraging brigading and that sort of thing. But if it's just like, hey, check this cool, you know, thread out that talks about, you know, it's just some video in Hearthstone or some, you know, new deck in the Hearthstone, I mean, that can be constituted the same as brigading in their eyes, I think. So it's really, I don't know.
Vague, it's intentionally vague.
I know it's vague, but it's sad because you can just like get screwed like either way, or you're scared to even market the site at times, or market like some thread that you actually like, you know. And it's kind of shitty that way. Reynad, what do you think about it?
I don't think it is shitty for you. You should never be worried about getting banned for looking at something on your stream. Like, unless your name is Reynad, there will be no consequence for anyone. And I promise you that. I would bet money on that. But if they see this, they would like intentionally do it to somebody to show equality. Like, same way they remove Trump posts after I bitch.
right.
But no, it's I mean, it's kind of. It's weird because it's not a baseless argument. Like, if I pull something up on stream and I like decide to shit talk this thread because it's stupid, like 90% of them are, then like on stream, the consequence that will happen is, even if I don't tell people to vote, they're gonna go to that thread and, like, you know, spam it and downvote and stuff. Or if I like promote something on stream and I'm like, oh, I know this comment's hilarious, and they go onto Reddit and they upvote that comment. That's just how it works. And a lot of like spam is associated with that. Like, they'll just start posting a million Twitch memes and then the thread goes to shit.
Who does that?
So there's definitely a reason to like not do that, or like to not have it be allowed. But it's also like, how do I put it? Like, if I talk about an interesting subject on stream, mm-hmm. people like post the highlight of that onto Reddit, and then that gets a bunch of upvotes. Then it's like,
that's kind of
like the same thing in reverse.
Yeah, it's like Inception. It's a weird thing.
But, but then, like, what if the thing I'm complaining about is a Reddit thread? Like, that's happened before. Like, mm-hmm. I'm complaining about a Reddit thread, and then people post the highlight, and it becomes its own Reddit thread, and then like, the votes in the other thread adjust accordingly. Like, am I brigading that? Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. At the end of the day, mods are fuckboys. I don't think that threat applies to anyone besides me. And I think that it's not even so much like to keep the subreddit healthy. It's more like, you know, if we're going to ban Reignad, he's not going to care. So we need an excuse to ban his content as well. And we'll use this as an excuse. So that's like more of what I think that's coming from. It's not like they're not blanket saying like, oh, never look at Reddit threads on stream. That's just stupid.
Yeah, I mean,
that's actually a really weird one, because it's like, that's what I was saying to Chanman, really. It's like, it's invasive when it starts being monitored. I start monitoring stuff that isn't even on Reddit. Like, that's where I start having an issue with the whole moderation part of it. It's like, I guess it reminds me a bit of the whole employers doing a background check on you. Like, beyond the reasonable, you know, has this guy committed murder or is he like a sex offender? Like, when they start looking at your private Facebook posts and you said something really stupid 5 years ago and they say we're not going to take you on because of that, like, that's kind of where, I feel that's really wrong. And I kind of put those two as equivalences on that front. So, it's weird. I don't know. Maybe it's not the way you should look at it, but I can't help but feel it feels unhealthy. And I don't want to say unfair either, because, like, I don't know how much they would extend that to someone else. Like, I can't tell if it's unfair. Reina, like, you obviously seem to think so. Like, Andre, well, obviously.
In this particular case, I think it was pretty clear. I mean, both acts were very, you know, had at least similarities in nature. And, you know, one was obviously pulled at the time. And, you know, this one was allowed. I mean, for me, I wish both of them were just allowed. I mean, I think it's fine. You know, like, I wish it was just. I think I didn't really have a problem with the nature of that particular Trump donation one, but it was really a question of just like the
thing is, I don't know, dude.
Had I complained about it in a different way, both of them would have been allowed. Had I been like, hey, why? Had I not even brought up the Trump post at all and been like, hey, why is my post removed here? That's kind of bullshit. Then they would have like unbanned it. But like, because I used the Trump thing as a comparison, then for equality's sake, they're going to remove the Trump one after the fact to like,
yeah.
After it's farmed, you know, 1,300 points in 20 hours and gotten all the PR out of it, then it's okay to remove that for quality's sake. Reignad's post has gone in 2 minutes, but, you know. I don't know. It's the subreddit's not perfect, but at the end of the day, like, the problems just arise from, like, the natural bias that any human being's going to have. Yep. And it's, like, they're volunteers. They're not experts.
Yeah, but there are multiple, you know, like, it's not even just like a single person making a decision sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, have you seen Reddit make decisions about what to upvote? It is a single person. It's a single mentally impaired person. Like, it just, like, it's a collective. It's not, there's no independent thought or decision making or spine in the case of the mods. So, right. Yeah, it's like, the problems arise from like human issues, and it's just not really worth like complaining about it every time they do something. It's like biased or stupid, I think. I've just kind of given up on it.
All right, so let's bury it then, right? Let's just bury the entire topic and never bring it up again unless something outrageous happens. I guess that's the way to do it.
I think it's the way to approach it.
That's healthy. Yeah. Let's do this.
Because honestly, it's going to be something every other week.
Yeah,
obviously. that's definitely true. Okay, guys. Well, why don't we do some Q&A with the viewers here? If you guys want to send your questions to ValueTalonGG, or you can tweet them at ChainManVia too, and I'll read them out as we're getting them. Let's see, Prabnor asks, "Hey guys, what class are you going to be playing the most in Standard when it comes to?" I guess what class are you going?
No clue.
Yeah, no clue. Exactly. And this is the only question we've got so far. That's what I'm asking. All right, guys. No clue. Definitely not Druid. Actually, just at least inclinations are not to play Druid. I can tell you that.
It'll be fun if I can heal myself a bit instead of just having to go broke back.
I mean, I've played it and seen it way too much. So I'm just not going to play it. Like, I'm hoping Rogue or something that I haven't played in a while is going to come back and be fun again. Or even Hunter to some degree. Hunter would be fun to play too.
Yeah. I guess I had a question also tying to that, since we're waiting for questions. Reynat, and I guess Chris as well, if you have some input on that, what would it take for Rogues to get? Because we talk about Druids having so many auto includes in their deck, in the basic set. How do you make Rogue not have the same problem? Like, how can you even? It feels really tough.
The Raptor card's like a good step, Unearthed Raptor. You need build around cards like that make you build your deck in a different way that isn't just a pile of the best cards. But if you give it another just good removal spell, another backstab, then it doesn't increase variety at all. It just gives you another auto include. So they have to be kind of careful with how they design cards for that class. Rogue is a very it's one of my favorite classes to play, but it's also one of the worst design classes in the game. Second worst design behind Priest. And it's it's super frustrating to play against. It's probably the second most frustrating deck to play against in the game. Some top three. It's very snowball-y and everything like that. So a lot of cards that have the potential to be really imbalanced, like Prep and Backstab. So it's very dangerous to print a lot of things for that class. Even Conceal, a mechanic that arguably shouldn't even be in the game. Stealth. It's hard, man. I don't know how they would. I think cards like Unearthed Raptor are the way to go, though. They need to make a build around card, a theme type of thing, and maybe put it into a shell where preparation's not good.
Yeah, try to find a way where that's not something you want to play automatically. Mm-hmm. Which I think that's actually the Unearthed Raptor is that. That deck, right? You very, very rarely see it. Anyway, where were you saying, Chris?
Oh, I mean, I played a lot of Death Rattle Rogue, just trying to make it work. And I mean, I love the Raptor for sure, but I think generally the issue with Rogue is there's just not a lot of great Rogue minions. You know what I mean? It's the same kind of with Priest, right? The similarities between the two classes is that it's very spell heavy. You know, when you build both of those types of decks right now, there's more spells than probably everything but a Freeze Mage or something like that. So I run into that a lot with Raptor, or at least with Rogue. And now that Death Rattle's gonna be taken out, I want them to add Death Rattle cards that are two drops or one drops that's specific to Rogue. I think that would help. Well, one of the issues when I was playing Death Rattle Rogue is that you lose tempo so fast in the beginning. You can't consistently, keep the board clear or not lose board when you play egg. You play egg and you play the ideal, I think, sequence is egg, Raptor, Argus or something like that, and that's that's an awesome start, right, for that type of deck. And it's not very consistent. I mean, drawing those three cards in sequence is very rare, and then combinations of two of those cards with a backstab or something isn't that great either, because you usually just lose board hoping to come back later.
Going back to the Unearthed Raptor, have you guys seen the list that Ting Tong, I don't even, do you guys know Ting Tong in the first place? He's just a good player. Anyway, Ting Tong and Black Wolf built this Death Rattle Rogue that's super aggressive, running double Leprenome, double South Sea Clockwork. They have the eggs and one Cold Blood. So it's not going the brand route, rather. It's double oil in a deck that's not all Rogue. So it's trying to get that turn tempo you're talking about. They're playing 5/1 drops, just making sure they get there. They've got the two backstabs. There's no prep. They don't rely on it. They don't rely on Blade Flurry necessarily because they're trying to be more aggressive. It's a deck that's I feel as you said, Unearthed Raptor is getting there as far as a good archetype that doesn't rely on massive amounts of preps, spells, just general spells, really. So I mean, it's almost there. It's almost there.
I played with that one too, just an aggressive version of the Raptor, and it's a tiny bit slower than your crazy fast oil rogue. I've played the super aggressive oil rogue too, and I don't think it's any better or worse. You know what I mean? Generally speaking, it's not faster, to kill decks that are susceptible to fast decks. So it's worse than that. And then at the same time, it's not good enough, with its sustainability, which is with the eggs and the death rattle on the Raptor, to beat a lot of decks that are you know, just mid-range decks too. So it's like somewhere in between. It's kind of, it's cool, you know, and sometimes you have some games that are just like amazing, and it feels, you know, like the tempo of it feels a little bit like an aggressive Zoo deck or something.
Yeah, but, that's kind of what it's trying to do.
Yeah, but it's not better than Zoo, you know what I mean? So it ends up being like, okay, why am I playing this then? It's just worse version of a lot of different things I could do.
Yeah, what if Rogue got like a 2-drop that whenever they attacked with their hero, they drew a card? That'd be something they could use, like, because they don't need
every time to get attacked. Okay.
No, when they attack.
Oh, they when draw they a card. Attack. Oh.
Yeah, so like they don't have any kind of Wind Fury attacks. It's like once per turn and it has to be on the board.
Okay, so it's like it would be an auto include. Like on it or something.
Pretty
like
much.
That.
I don't know if that, like, that feels to me like it could help the whole I don't need prep sprint in my deck.
Maybe. I mean, they added the 2-drops, which it's the problem I have with the 2-drops that they added. They're not. I mean, unless it's coin. Yeah, I mean, unless you coin into one of them, one's a combo, right? And the other one is it gives +1 to your weapon, but it's a 2-drop. So, it, like, unless you coined your weapon, you don't usually get it. You know, you don't get the benefits of it on the 2. So the 2-drops, I generally think, are not designed great. They're not designed to be played on 2. Or it's more likely 3 or 4. So a new 2-drop would be good. A new 2-drop would be good. A 1-drop that's not, like, that you can't Buccaneer. Remove with a ping, you know, or like half of the hero powers can't remove it, I think would be nice too. Because the snake's cool. It's
yeah,
just
I wish they just flipped the stats on it.
Yeah.
1-2 would make it actually playable.
Yeah. That'd be so much better.
I think a lot of the problem though is just like the currently existing minions that you're trying to deal with early game and the other decks. Mm-hmm. Like for example, I think Wally Squire is actually exceptional in Rogue. It's a fantastic card. Mm-hmm. I've gotten Legend playing it 3 months ago, like Wally Squire Rogue. Mm. And I think that'll be really common after Standard. Like it'll be really good when you're not competing with like Zombie Chows and Shielded Mini Bots and Seeker Keepers and Haunted Creepers. It's just like once everyone else's early minions kind of suck, then Wally Squire will kind of help you trade up. And then Hero Power turn 2. Rogue is like one of the only classes in the game where you're okay Hero Powering turn 2.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah.
There was a time where Rogue's Hero Power was considered, you know, like up next to Life Tap, the best one, right?
It
generally is, but just in the meta right now, it's just like, hasn't really been that great.
And the class just hasn't gotten cards in so many expansions, and it's still competitive. Like, that's.
Just goes to show how careful you got to be with it.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. The next question I have here. Which of Keeper of the Grove or Ancient Allure would you prefer changed? I think we talked about this some. Ancient Allure, right? is the super broken card.
It's tough to say, dude.
Like, really? You think it's pretty close between the two?
Yeah.
I think it's a lot closer than you think. I think that, like, removing the silence or like trying to tone down Ancient, like those two kind of, I don't know, could be done. It's hard to say. What do you prefer? I don't know.
I think the silence mechanic in general, like, they should ask whether that should even be in the game.
Yeah.
So that's like one reason Keeper's kind of worrisome. But then also, with Innervate, it upsets me, like, how you they can't lose to aggro if you Innervate Keeper. And it's, like, not an uncommon opener as a druid, so. I don't know, like, it feels really bad to get Innervate Keeper if you're an aggressive deck, but it also, like, feels terrible to get cool cards silenced. So Keeper is definitely sketchy. Ancient of Lore is mostly good because it draws you into combo. So without combo, maybe that card's okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, I think without Innervate, Ancient is less of a problem, but Keeper is always, like, with Innervate, it's always a problem. I just don't like silence, I guess. Maybe I'm just biased, but I hate that mechanic.
Yeah, but silence is going to be, I mean, silence is going to be in the game, right?
So sure.
It's just, I think, I mean, I
hope they tone down
owls. They're going to remove everything. So, I mean, they can't.
Make the owl summon, like, I don't even know. Like, make it just do sounds, you know what?
Sounds?
Just say, like, you tone all your emotes into Hoot Hoot, and it becomes, like, a fun card. And every time you emote, it just says Hoot Hoot. That's what I want to see. I want to see, like, this card just erased. In the game, I'd rather just not.
I would
it
like
ever again.
I mean, I would like it to
just owl. Time. If they just tone down owl, I think we're solving a lot of the silence issues that I have personally. But
so it would be okay for them to have a, you know, something like Spellbreaker, like something that's more expensive, and then with the silence. Okay,
I don't mind it as much. I mind it, but not as much.
It's less flexible. So, I mean, that would make sense from that standpoint. Okay. Hypno asks, by the way, that question was from Classic. Hypno asks, will we ever see a non-aggro shaman again? And why is Noxious Beard so sexy? Of course, we're going to see a non-aggro shaman viable eventually. It's just a matter of time. It's just, I guess, why don't we phrase that? What type of shaman do you see, or would you like to see, becoming viable again? The combo variant, or just more of a mid-range? You know, what we've kind of seen in the past. Reyna?
I like the mid-range deck a lot. The only problem with the mid-range deck is it kind of like draws the game out, and you have like several interactive turns. So in a longer game, you're gonna roll more totems, and like that's a lot of RNG. I hate that hero power. So it's like it's kind of like tilting to play the mid-range deck in a lot of games. But yeah, I mean, if they print like new AoE so that you don't have to play cards like Lightning Storm, then I actually think it'd be pretty cool to play Shaman. Like the mid-range Shaman is really fun.
I want to see some Earth Shatter or something, or Earth Shake, or some type of AOE that has or
Earthquake.
Some
card, yeah. I'm sure they could do Earthquake. Dude.
Yeah, Earthquake sure. Or something like that. That would be kind of cool.
Like Lightning Storm would probably be better if it always did 2 damage.
Yep.
Like, yeah. So I'm not baited into like rolling for the 3 sometimes.
Like it would, like you'd say it's a bad card. Like if people would say, oh, it sucks, it always rolls low. But ultimately, like I would have a good reason to play that, you know, Snowballed, because now I know that I'm always gonna roll high. Like I'm not gonna rely on that RNG half the time, lose my storm too early, and then not build my deck around it. So yeah, for sure.
I'd like to see a combo, just some type of combo shaman be. I have some viability.
Yeah,
those have always been the fun decks for people to play, right? The Malagus variant, or I mean, I played the Reincarnate one. That's really fun. There's been the Zeus deck in the past. That's been kind of cool, right? That would be neat. I think that's the one thing that hasn't been that's reached top tier. Malagus was really close, probably at one point, but it was never top tier at all. Yeah, it'd be nice to see that if Shaman had that ability. We've seen the aggro type. We've seen mid range, right? It'd be nice to see. Something.
Leroy Windfury, like yeah. Back in mid range, the early mid range days, like that Rockbiter weapon. Going back to it is like, it's just like Power of Whelming, Blessing of Might, Rockbiter weapon. Like all these cards are just like, oh hi, can I Faceless and or Windfury? Okay, then yeah. I have a combo deck.
I think it'd be nice if they had more or at least maybe cheaper cards that affected totems too, like either buff yeah. totems or. Because the hero power it would take a huge change for them to you know alter that by a lot, you know, like completely you're just changing it all together. They'd have to change a lot of cards that are already associated with it too. So it'd be nice to see some more. Thunderbluff's just too expensive, you know, and Flame Tongue's always been essential, right, to that type of mid range shaman. So something else that's along those lines I think would be cool. Would help at least. Would help the hero power be so a little bit better. What do you think about the cards that change just the shaman specific hero power, like the weapon? Right, is it the charge hammer or that?
I think the weapon's good. I think the weapon's actually good. I'm surprised we haven't seen like any of it, or at least very little of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a cool design. I wish they'd be a little bit more aggressive with changing hero power. They're very, I don't know. Like Blizzard appreciates how strong that kind of effect is, so like Shadow Form and Charged Hammer are both a little bit overpriced, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's life.
Yeah, that's definitely life. Okay, yeah, let's see if I can take one or two more. If you guys want to get your questions last minute, ValueTown GG, tweet your questions there. All right, here's one for, I guess, the three of us. It's from Classic again. What type of meta do you prefer? Just full control? Or the mid range that we have right now.
I have control. I like control a lot more.
Right, you've always seemed to be more of the aggro and just like steered more there. But I just don't know if it's just because, you know, the cards are the way they are, the meta is the way they are. Which do you prefer? Like just I guess generally as a player.
Control meta. Yeah. Well, I don't know. It hasn't really been an aggro meta. People just call whatever they lose to cancerous. They call whatever they lose to aggro.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Yeah, it sure seems aggressive when it's hitting you for 30 and you're not hitting for any damage because you suck. Like, yeah. But No, it's not. It hasn't really been an aggro meta in a long time. There hasn't been an aggro meta ever in Hearthstone, I don't think.
No, no, like started, the face hunter meta, no. That's right.
It started as a control meta, and then it went on to be a slower control meta. And then for the past, like, year and a half, it's been a combination of patron and burst-oriented, including patron even. It's just burst-oriented tempo decks. And that's been every single deck.
Yeah.
Druid, Rogue, Tempo Mage, like everything that's high tier has been burst-oriented tempo. And then you have tier 2 stuff like Priest and all that, so... but yeah, I think I would like to see a meta that just doesn't have burst damage. But burst damage is also an intentional mechanic, I think, in Hearthstone. Like when I first started playing the game after a month, I noticed a pattern of like every single game, we both play some stuff and then somebody gets pyroblasted for lethal, or we both play some stuff and somebody gets Leroy'd. Like that's what happened in the early days of Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All the cards ending games were the burst cards. So it seemed like it was an intentional design to try to keep games under 10 minutes. Because if you remove all burst from the game, then imagine like what Warrior Control would be like.
Every single game, yeah.
So
we'd see fatigue wear every single game. Yeah, that's true.
The deck would not only be too good, but it would also like, it's like less enjoyable gameplay if everyone's building their decks in a way that the game lasts 30-40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if
I like control meta better, but I don't know which one is best for the game. Like I like when the meta game starts slowing down, but you know, I instantly see it whiplash back into, oh, let me put a combo kill in my control deck to kill you faster, or to get that, you know, that lethal faster than you do, and then suddenly we're back to, oh, might as well play mid-range with that combo, and then suddenly my control deck suddenly starts falling apart. That's been kind of a cycle for Hearthstone, but we've never had like even if you look at Undertaker Hunter, which was probably the single most, like this was the fastest game ending time of Hearthstone, I'd say. It's like if turn 4, you know, it's just like by turn 3 you know if you lost. Very often you already kind of knew where you were going, unless your hand gave you like a really good chance. So even back then, like the deck was a mid-range deck. It wasn't even hyper aggressive in the way that people associate with Face Hunter, with Arcane Golems charging you down.
Yeah, that's been mainly the only aggressive deck that we've seen have some viability, even, just even in the history of Hearthstone.
Aggro Warrior.
Aggro Warrior.
That was fun.
I've lost.
I don't know about fun, but it was something.
I've lost a Face Warrior recently twice, so yeah. it pops up, and I know Ray plays it every once in a while too, even recently. So it's fun, man. When you get the right cards playing that deck, and there's nothing more gratifying than just like, oh yeah, I just like unleashed 4 weapons on that guy's face and then Mortal Strike him at the end.
Yeah, that one's fun to play. Still holds the free to play record.
Yeah.
It was the very first streamed free to play run.
Mm-hmm.
The very first streamed one, and then it hit. It was like 5 days.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to get much faster than that deck. It's just if you can limit your opponent to 30 hit points, I mean, you're pretty good.
If they don't have Belchers, right?
I don't know if it could do it today, though.
It's tough.
It would be tough, I think. I mean, the deck suffers from a like lack of card draw combined with having to use too many weapon charges on minions nowadays, which wasn't the case back then. Like, you could actually very often ignore stuff.
I think other decks are just better at racing you. It used to only be like one turn faster than the metagame, and even Druid Innervate still raced it. But yeah, now it's like, it's tough, man, because every deck just kills you turn 6 if you're like trying to hit face and not kill their minions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough to win.
I guess to answer my question, I mean, I guess my answer to the original question, whether control, I think generally for the meta, we want it balanced, right? Just general. But I always prefer control. But I can't play control all the time, of course. But definitely, I enjoy that type of gameplay. Just more decision-making and just more opportunities for decision-making, given that there's just more turns generally. Except for when you're playing Fatigue Warrior. There's not that many decisions. Okay, Ventus asks, we'll take 2 more, this one and another one. We've seen pirates, demons, mechs, etc. What other minion classification would you like to see in Hearthstone?
Ships.
Ships?
Let's do this.
Ships.
Ships. I mean, I want Naugas and ogres. Cannons.
Okay, all right.
I need ogres, obviously.
That's
the one thing I want.
Ogres? Yeah. Ogres? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, what would I want?
Nagas.
Gnolls?
Gnolls are cool. They could actually make... Like, it's funny, the card back they announced, by the way, we didn't talk about this, but, like, the new card back, we're getting the something ruffian or whatever.
Yeah.
Does that say anything about the theme of the expansion at all? Like, I'm curious to know if they're...
I don't...
It's interesting, right? Like, just think about it. Like, they could actually do a gnoll, like, a crazy amount of gnolls in the expansion just for fun. Because it is a cool subtype. It just doesn't...
It's one of the original ones, too, so I think it would be... I mean, it's pretty new. There's not very many gnoll characters right now in
Hearthstone. Well, there's Hogger, dude.
That's it, right?
Hogger. That's all you got. And I guess Treants as well. I'd love to see them do something with that besides just summoning them. Like, get them something cool instead of just making them exist.
It'd be so specific to Druid, though, wouldn't Treants?
Oh, but that would be the point. It would be Druid cards. But, yeah, I'd like to see that tribe. It'd be fun.
Man. Oh, here, I got a ship card for you.
Okay, go ahead. I want to see
the ship design. All right, let's hear it.
Oh, my God. Take all the knife jugglers to sea and drown them.
All right, Ward, you might have to show this.
It doesn't actually have
the
ship.
Okay, you just made this. All right, let's see.
Yeah.
Dreadship Vesuvius. Okay. So I meant a ship's cannon. Oh, yeah, you talked about it.
Oh, my God. Raynad.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna make a set one of these days.
That's the card I made a while back. It's not the same, but it's like super similar. I've been telling
Blizzard to make this card for over a year. Because I want pirates to be sort of a thing. But
so this is like fill the board, basically. Fill the board with pirates and
Shoot the cannon.
Shoot the cannon twice. That's true. Oh my god, I didn't even see that. I didn't even realize that part of it. Okay,
that's the cool part of it. That's what's fun about cards like these. Just like you're shooting cannon right away, and it's a standalone playable card. And you could have it be like, if you control a ship's cannon, then summon three pirates. Right? Like, you have to have the cannon, but if you do, you're getting three shots and three pirates. So.
Oh man, that's a huge snowball card right there. No, but I think that if you were just to add one card to help make pirates viable right now, I think that would be the card. Yeah, for sure. Cannon's so satisfying whenever you can keep it on the board for a turn. It's rare, though.
Somebody asked what spectral pirates are. I'm still trying to figure that out because I think 2/1's like too broken. I think 1/1's too weak, and I think 1/2 is too broken.
They'd still be pirates. See, the cool thing about spectral pirates is they'd still be pirates. It's not like freaking those, you know, spiders that are not beasts anymore, right?
Good lord, if they were, I would leave the game. If they were beasts, I would probably never.
It would be broken for sure. For
these red playable
for Hunter, holy crap! Okay, I think that would be
ship's cannon's not going to be in standard, man. It's rotating.
It's gone, dude. It's gone.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh god.
It's time to shine.
Oh, I totally forgot ship's cannon was
it's like Hemet, dude. It's gone. Never will it kill a beast. No thrill, no hunt. That's it. It's just gone.
I think we might have touched a little bit on this a couple weeks ago, but you think they'll rotate like just sets of you know, card types like that? Like just have mech come back for a year or just have mech come back in another year or two? And kind of do it that way. You think they'll do that once they? I mean, there's only so many like card types that we can do, so or at least categories that we can do over time. So you think they'll try to do that, or you think they'll mix some? Like they'll have maybe some releases that have like a combination of two of them, because there's always going to be some remnants of some of the types. Like there's going to still be a few mech guards, right? In a year or two, in the next year, the dragons will be gone. There'll still be a couple dragons and stuff like that. And I don't know if that's clean or not. I don't know. How do you guys, from the standpoint of, you know, design and just releases, like, what do you foresee in the future?
As far as...
Coming out with sets and then just having them reoccur, like, you know, in a full expansion. Because I'm thinking, like, with their each of expansions, they're gonna go full out on certain card types if they're introducing them, and just so that whenever they do get retired, they will get retired at the same time, right? So all of them will disappear at the same time.
Yeah, I kind of don't like that. You know, I wish we had like more mechs coming out with sets for. I mean, we did sort of. We had Gorilla Bot, we had Clockwork Knight, and that was cool. I wish they just kind of like kept the themes going throughout sets a little bit more. Actually, they did a decent job. They had a bunch of dragons.
They have been.
Like, because Blackrock was like such a failure, they had to like overcompensate with dragons in the next set. But that's like
Dragon Reliefs was terrible for dragons. This was crazy.
We tried. People did try though.
Yeah, we all. Everybody tried, but
no good.
It took the priest cards, you know, for it to actually be decent, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I think up to date, Reynad, I think they've done a good job with trying to, you know, continue these themes. But now we're going to see them kind of, you know, just start retiring, right? So mechs are, there's still going to be some remnants of mech, and the mech deck's not going to be viable unless they add a bunch more again.
Yeah, it's going to be weird to see Clockwork Knight exist
It's like
format with like two or three mechs.
Yeah, it's like a waste of a card.
That's, I mean, right.
When the text has complete all to do with mechs, it's a total unplayable card.
I mean, that's kind of the risk of like having tribal themed sets, though, is they don't function very well outside of their own set. It was, the same thing was kind of true in Magic as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess if they do like a tribal themed set, it is going to kind of die off when it rotates out, but. In Wild, they, you know, only get better and better, so it's kind of interesting.
I guess it's the flip side, right? Yeah. Like, you do get to improve one side, and I think that's what's nice, right? They get to make new cards that are going to be applicable for Wild. I just wish there was, like, that little bit of space where you can play it in Standard. Maybe at the end of the year, when they're done with the entire, you know, that year's rotation, maybe then we'll have, like, enough cards to not necessarily make an entire deck, like a mech mage with everything, but enough little bits and pieces that you'll want to play them together, even though they're not necessarily going to make the entire archetype.
Yeah.
That's possible.
I mean, it's just another selling point for Wild, guys. You know what I mean? Like, Wild is just...
Well played.
You know, it's definitely got some potential for, you know, some interesting, just an interesting environment with all of the tribal cards together, and just imagine the craziness, right? Or even just I don't know, you can create all kinds of cool thematical events and things around Wild. So don't dust all your cards yet. I would heavily advise not doing that if you can help it. I mean, obviously if you don't have a ton of budget to, you know, just obviously continue to buy cards and stuff like that, then of course, But I wouldn't just do it just for the sake of only playing Standard and thinking Wild's gone. Okay, well, I think that's going to be it for questions today. You know, we'll wrap up the show. Actually, one quick thing, Patreon. We have a Patreon. I always forget to plug it. Patreon.com/ValueTown. Check that out, guys. Support the show. Help it continue on. And hopefully participate in some of the rewards and milestones. I've been having a hard time getting people to actually like participate in some of these things. So, you know, just check them out and hopefully you guys can maybe even give me some feedback, on what you'd like to see from the Patreon.
Yeah.
But next week, guys, just a heads up before we actually, you know, just shout out some good stuff. We won't have a show next week because all three of us will be, you know, doing something. I'm not even sure how. Doing something related to Hearthstone, so we won't be in a position to do the show. So we'll continue. We'll be back like 2 weeks from now, hopefully with a guest. You know, we didn't have a guest this week, but we'll definitely have a guest next week or the next time we have a show in 2 weeks. It'll be great to see you guys in a week. I'll get to see these guys, and we gotta do a live ValueTown one of these days. Like,
yeah, we could totally do it. Like, we just force Trump onto as the mayor, and then you're good to go. That's all we got to do.
A throwback. Yeah, one of these times we're about to do a throwback. Maybe, yeah, some milestone.
Yeah, we can do one here, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, one of these times, yeah.
Sure,
for sure. But yeah, you want to do some shout-outs before we wrap up? Noxious, you want to start?
Yeah, sure. As usual, shout-out to Complexity for, being my team at this point. And as usual, this personal sponsor is Starlint and Hearth Amino. It's an app. That actually got back as a sponsor this month, and they're running a giveaway on the app, so you can check them out. It's on my channel. There's a link down there if you want to check it out. It's like 150 card packs. Cool. Pretty cool.
Ray?
Shout out to the teams, I guess. All the Tempest Storm, all that. I don't have too much. You can cheer on the CSGO team at Katowice this week, and I don't really have anything planned. Shout out to our sponsors, of course, D2A, Twitch, Fnatic Gear, and
Awesome. I'll wrap things up by thanking you guys for doing the show today, all the viewers for sending in their questions, and a big shout out to Tempo Storm too for sponsoring Value Town. But that's going to be it, guys, for Value Town and for Noxious Reynad and myself, Champion MV. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
See ya.